Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Checkerboard Radio, your home for all things ball, with Lee Crow, at Lee Crow, and Andrew Durego, A.W. Durego on Twitter. You're listening to Checkerboard Radio, a Beast Sporto channel.
Welcome into Checkerboard Radio here on Ball Sports Radio, a Beast Sporto channel. The place all ball fans want to run to. I'm Andrew Durego. Joining me, as always, is Lee Crow. We've got a great show planned today. We were kind of building up for this last week. We said we were due for some bad news, and it came in masses this week. Nothing too serious, but a lot of changes. Kyle Oliver is no longer with the team. He's the second player in the past week to be dismissed or transferred, depends on how you want to read it, from the program. We also have Charles Mosley, may or may not be a snitch, and we also have Preston Williams' ACT scores being flagged by the NCAA Clearinghouse. Joining us later on in the show will be VFL Andre Lott. But first, Lee, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited. I mean, I'm 2 days away from fall camp practice stuff. It's the best time of the year. There won't be a football-free weekend until February after today, so you can't beat that.
Yeah, Vols kick off practice on Tuesday. The practice schedule has been released. They're going all the way through towards the end of August. I think around the 22nd is the last practice day. Open practice in 2 weeks on the 15th in Neyland at 6:50. I've already set up plans. Our good friend Buckethead is coming into town for the weekend, and the fiance will be out of town. So it's going to be me and Bucket taking in the open practice that Saturday. So that should be interesting. But, you know, like I said, as we kicked off the show, some interesting things going on right now with Kyle Oliver leaving the team. It was reported by the Knoxville News Sentinel when Charles Mosley was arrested that Kyle Oliver was listed as an associate on the police report. But the thing is, apparently he was in the car. He's no longer with the team. There's now kind of rumors coming out that he was also one of the players that spoke up or spoke out of line during the team meeting last Wednesday. Justin Martin was originally rumored as one of those people. Now it's Kyle Oliver. Kyle Oliver is now off the team. Lee, do you think this was his first strike?
I'd say not. And, you know, like I said last week, these guys that are not as heralded, maybe considered a little more marginal talent. I mean, if you're not a five-star, you're not going to get every chance in the world to not be a moron. So he probably didn't have as many strikes as some of the other more heralded kids in the first place. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's not his first issue.
Yeah, and that's the confusing part about it to me, because when Butch Jones was on, I think Nashville radio earlier this week, said that Charles Mosley, his punishment was being handled internally. He is quote-unquote suspended. I haven't seen like a time frame or anything like that announced for him, but it is odd to me that, you know, Mosley is the one that has the rap sheet now, and Oliver's one that's gone.
Yeah, and I talked about this with you the other day. I mean, a lot of that might have to do with the fact that Mosley's already been in the program for a year, already gotten a red shirt. You know, these last two kids, have got to let go or let the team. Oliver and Bruce, I mean, they haven't really even had an official practice yet. So their NCAA clock hasn't started ticking, so to speak, yet. So these kids could go somewhere else and transfer, like Jock Bruce did to MTSU. He's going to be playing for the Blue Raiders up this way. So Oliver can do something similar to that. Wherever Big Charles had to go, if he was kicked off the team or was asked to leave, he'd be sitting out a year, and I'm sure he didn't want to do that.
Well, and that's the thing is, and I get, you know, you saw Bruce say it, Oliver kind of said it, that, you know, the coaches are going to help him find a place to go. this might be me being jaded or bitter or something, but I don't care if our coaching staff helps somebody find a place to go. If you messed up, if you couldn't fit in, if you couldn't follow their rules, you're on your own, bud.
Yeah. It's largely probably a PR move for other potential commitments. Parents, basically, like, you know, we'll take care of your kid, and if anything goes wrong, you know, we'll help these kids find a place to land. You know, I can only imagine that's what it's about, you know, just trying to be friendly with, you know, the parents of the kids coming up next time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I talked about it at length last week, and it's time to bust out our new hotkey. We're substituting the cutting wood, and since Walking Dead is starting back up, the new spinoff series this month, now that we're in August. It's time for Charles Mosley to look at the flowers.
Just look at the flowers.
I'm sorry. Yeah. He's got to go. He's got to go. And this isn't a... Part of it is a talent thing. Sorry, I've watched enough Tennessee football to know that when a guy is bouncing around positions between flipping sides, offense and defense, and you're getting in trouble, you're out of shape. I forget who it was. I think it was our good friend Booby, who returned to Twitter this week, who pretty much just said all Charles Mosley has done, he has got at UT, is gain weight, get in trouble, and smoke weed.
That's pretty much it, man. You know, like you said, he wasn't in shape. He is in shape, but the shape is round. So this guy sitting up there, you know, you're 370 pounds. You got to be walking on eggshells anyway. I mean, the squad's not going to tolerate that, man. You got to get in shape. You got to get ready. I mean, like you said, he's already bounced from DT, which would be ideal for someone of that girth, over to guard or something. He's not going to be able to play guard in the SEC at that weight. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, he needs to get it together if he's planning on staying, or he's just going to be Alan Carson 2.0.
No, I'm not trying to make fun of him. I mean, but to a point I am. And the other deciding factor, I must have misread this or skipped over it while skimming it, was in VolQuest War Room on Friday. I'm going to read the full little paragraph about Mosley. Quote, "The fact is, and this will be surprising to exactly no one who's gotten to know him since he first burst onto the recruiting scene, Mosley is a very personable, popular figure who gained new levels of respect this spring by persevering through camp. He's certainly not seen as a rat or a bad apple by his peers." Really interesting that you put that little last line in there, VolQuest. Cool. You want to say Mosley's personable and popular? Yeah, we've seen his Twitter pictures. He's partying half the time. Cool, he's in college. More power to him. I did it too. But that last little bit, he's certainly not seen as a rat or a bad apple by his peers. Since we're on VSporto and the Vol Sports Radio channel right now, I'm not allowed to use explicit language anymore, but that is bull bleep.
Yeah.
Mosley's a snitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's be clear here. You would not have to even write that if there was nothing to it. So obviously, they already know, the VolQuest gang already knows that, you know, everybody thinks this guy's a snitch. I'm sure his teammates do too. Like you said, last week, snitches get stitches, and then this week, Oliver's gone. It just kills me, man. It is what it is, but this guy here basically ratted out his friends and got him in Dutch with the coaching staff, and Oliver was a casualty of that. There's no other way to look at it.
I mean, it's not funny, I mean, but it kind of is, but, I mean, I'm not acting like I'm from some mean street. I grew up in West Knoxville, but I've been in situations where, you know, don't talk, I'm not talking like legal stuff. I'm talking like a friend's done something stupid. You don't snitch. That's how you lose respect. And on the football field, on the practice field, if somebody doesn't like you, there's a very easy way that you're going to get hit really hard when you're not ready for it.
Yeah.
We did it when I played high school football.
Like you said, you don't have to be from you don't have to be from the mean streets to know that there's a code out here about snitching on your friends. I mean, it's like, I mean, it was in Goodfellas, for goodness sake. De Niro said, "Never rat on your friends and always keep your mouth shut." You know, when it comes about, you know, getting your folks in trouble, you know, just shut up. You know, just don't say a thing.
I mean, I'm sure you've heard of this before, but it happened to our quarterback when I was playing high school football. Quarterback was mouthing off, yelling at the the offensive lineman for letting up the sack. And I stood in the huddle when it happened. Quarterback called the play, and as soon as he walked away from the huddle, all five offensive linemen looked at each other and said, "Lookout block." You know what that lookout block is, Lee?
Oh yeah, it's an OLA. I call it the OLA. So.
That's where they just let him come through and lay somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
And it would not surprise me if at some point Mosley takes a cheap shot. And I'm not saying he takes, I'm saying he's going to be on the receiving end. That line from VolQuest confirms what I said last week. Mosley snitched. When Mosley got out of jail Wednesday morning or whenever it was last week, he probably immediately got called to the coach's office, depending on which coach he sat down with. Hell, let's assume it went to the top and he sat down with Butch. Butch asked him, "Who is with you?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Kyle Oliver." He said, "Where were you at?" The Econo Lodge. And we might not know this, but we might find out, you know, if somebody gets booted in the next week or so, who was at the O'Connell Lodge.
I'm sure he sat there and listed everybody. Yeah, I'm sure that wasn't the only guy with him at the O'Connell Lodge. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. So, yeah, I mean, there may be some more casualties from this later on down the road, but we'll never know about it. I'll just be considered handled internally and, you know, a strike for these kids. We'll never know about it.
And that's fine. You know, I understand. You know, I said it last week. If you want to – it's college. If you want to smoke every once in a while, fine. If you want to skip a class every once in a while, fine. As long as you maintain your eligibility, I don't care what you do. I don't.
Yeah.
And that, you know, is a perfect segue into Preston Williams. Jimmy Hyams reported this week that the NCAA clearinghouse had flagged Preston Williams' ACT score due to a, quote, significant jump. And I've been talking to people this week, you know, just on Twitter about, you know, oh, people are like, oh, why did he get flagged? So what, it went up 3 points? The term significant jump to me means dude's score went up at least 7 points.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things where you have to think back, too. And I've been thinking back for years, and I can't remember anyone that ever had to take a retest and it worked out well for them. But I've heard some stuff from Doug Matthews today, who I trust on a lot of things, and he mentioned that Preston is going to be okay here. And I was thinking the opposite of that until I heard that, but Matthews is a pretty good source on those things. But, I mean, I guess his high school grades are good enough to where the ACT wouldn't be that big of a deal, but he does need to retake it because they said the score jump was that large. So, I mean, worst-case scenario, the kid's going to be like a partial qualifier, maybe have to sit out from activities for 1 year, but then play the other three. Or he can end up in a JUCO. You never know. Just depending on what route the kid wants to take, really.
Well, and depending on, you know, who you believe, there's been reports that he's recovering very well from his injury with the ACL tear, tore it in October of last year. He did post a Vine a couple months ago of him running in the facility and looked quick, looked solid. But there's been, if you can read between lines, especially when Coach Jones has been asked about him in interviews, he says, you know, oh, yeah, he's rehabbing. If you look at what VolQuest and 24/7 say, he's still rehabbing. I think UT is trying to handle Preston Williams' personality as hard as they can. You saw it after he on signing day. Azani was asked about him. He said, I'm going to have my hands full with him. That wasn't talking about like, oh, he's a great talent. That's talking about Preston Williams being a personality. This is a kid that considers himself a model, has a website.
Yep.
Weird creeper people were worried about his girlfriend that he often referred to as his wife on Twitter. This is the kid that said he is not redshirting whatever school he commits to. So you kind of have to wonder now with this ACT score, when he retakes it, it's going to be probably within the next 2 weeks. I've also seen that the next available ACT scheduled test isn't until mid-September. But if the coaching staff says, hey, you know, with this test issue, we think you're going to pass it. We're giving you all the tutoring we can, slash with your knee right now, you're going to redshirt. Just press and just say, screw it, I'm out. I'll go play it.
You never know with this kid, man. He's eccentric is the word I like to use for Preston. He's really eccentric. That's why I put in that little prediction for the season deal I did about a month and a half ago, however long ago it was. That number 10 was, you know, Preston Williams making it through the year unscathed. Something was going to pop up on this kid, whether it be attitude based, and to find out it was, you know, a grade issue or a testing issue or admissions issue. I thought it for sure it'd be probably something like, you know, a disciplinary thing on Preston because he's extremely eccentric. He's out there. I mean, he's this fashion sense, his, the way he behaves, the way he tweets. I mean, it's going to be a fun ride with this kid one way or another. So this is probably just the first of many episodes with Preston.
Well, and that's the thing. And, you know, you put it out on checkerboardradio.com a couple weeks ago, you know, your top 10 predictions for this season. And your number 10 was, and it's something you and I have talked about on air since the get-go with Preston, that he won't make it through the season unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's personality and off-field actions are red flags. And, you know, people may nitpick at us and say, oh, you're just, you know, the kid's just having fun, you know, let him be a model or whatever. Go look at his vines.
Yeah, he vined a couple times from the practice field in pads at his high school, which is a, you know, that's just a no-no, man. You don't bring your phone on the field, man. That's just, I guess you got away with things like that at the high school level, though, so.
I'm not even talking about him doing just stupid stuff like that. I'm talking about him and his buddies talking about smoking weed.
Yeah.
How dumb do you have to be? But, you know, you said it was number 10. Preston gets suspended for a period of time. I know I saw somebody harp on you on Twitter, like, oh, he's not suspended. But you said, and this is a quote from Leithus, there's no way this kid comes through the year unscathed and clean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just has baggage written all over him, man. Just sort of things he does. I hope it works out for him, and he's just a character, man. You never know, but. I mean, usually when there's smoke, there's fire with these kids, and there's a ton of smoke coming out of high school on Preston.
Well, and that's the thing. I've often compared him to Swiper Boy, Ronaldo Woolridge. All Ronaldo Woolridge cared about was his rap career at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Preston, coming into it during his recruitment, he was selling T-shirts with the nickname he gave himself. I'm at his website right now looking at
his modeling pictures.
I don't even want to see that website. I've never seen it. I don't want to see it. It's too much for me. I don't want to see it.
You've never seen it?
No, I've seen some pictures of from his Twitter account, I guess, with him throwing some of these pictures up, but I've never seen the actual website. What's the name of the clothing line he has?
The website is Crazy 8 Boulevard, BLVD. I might tweet some of these pictures out, and oh, goodness gracious.
That's why I don't want to see it. I don't even want to know.
I'm tweeting this to you right now, Lee.
All right.
Because this is bad, but
they did have some stuff
off the field, but come on.
Yeah.
This picture I'm about to tweet, I'm probably going to get trolled by people, but this is bad. I get one to do off the field stuff. You have other interests besides football or whatever, but no. What were you saying, Lee?
Well, I was going to say, they did have a little bit of decent news this week. Jaquan Blakely, outside linebacker out of Moultrie, Georgia, committed yesterday, kind of with no fanfare whatsoever from the staff, and just kind of a little blurb, a couple of stories about it. I mean, it's a puzzling commitment, but he is a three-star linebacker out of Georgia, 69th in the state, which is, that's always going to be pretty good in Georgia. Top 100 in Georgia is usually pretty solid football players, but it's a third outside linebacker in this class. It's going to be a smaller class, probably around 20 kids, so it's a little puzzling, but he's a quality athlete. It was just a little odd to see that Saturday night, Sunday morning kind of commitment to no fanfare from anyone. Just a little bit odd, but I guess it is official as he's showing on the commitment list today on all the sites. Oh, my God, I can't believe you sent me that picture. Oh, my God.
But speaking of, you know, like you said, a recruit, Laquan Blakely, it did feel a little bit out of place with it being late on a Saturday night that they make the announcement. The thing I kind of, not red flag, but I was like, wait, hold on, was I didn't see the coaching staff go boom, you know, we just got better, any of that.
Which is a pattern for them.
And he's got a nice offer list, and he spoke with Ryan Callahan at 24/7, said he's been to Tennessee numerous times. When I went to Orange Carpet Day, I knew it was the place for me. I just like the atmosphere, the way the coaches approached it and everything, and just the feel of it. It feels right. The way I kind of look at it is, remember the corner, Duke Shelley, I think a year ago or a year and a half ago, out of Georgia that committed to Tennessee, and then his coach is like, I don't think he understands what this is. I think he was offered, but it wasn't a committable offer, and he took it. Obviously, Duke Shelley is not with the team. I forget who he signed with, but I think this might be that. I really think Blakely may have gotten a quote-unquote offer. He took it, and I mean, probably 3 months from now, nothing against the kid. If he signs with Tennessee, fantastic. If he doesn't, I'm not going to be surprised. I think this is a kid jumping the gun.
Yeah, I do too, but you look at the class they currently have going. They've got 15 kids committed now, and they've already got three linebackers in this class, and that wasn't even really considered a position of need, because you look at the roster, and they've got basically, you know, this kid's an outside linebacker. He's not going to be playing inside anytime soon. They've already got Corte Sapp, Elliot Berry, Cortez McDowell. Dylan Bates is still technically an outside linebacker until they move him. You know, these are freshmen and sophomores and redshirts freshmen. So, and you got Austin Smith as well. And it just makes you wonder, I mean, even if Batuli, the other one of the other linebackers in this class ends up playing with a hand in the dirty defensive end, because he's about 230 right now, or he moves to middle. I mean, it's still a lot of outside linebackers when there's other positions of need, namely wide receiver, running back, defensive back. I mean, you can go on and on. It's just an odd look for this class. It might be one of those deals where the kid got excited on orange carpet day and came home and talked to his parents and just, you know, made the decision to come on down. But I don't really know if that committable, if the offer is that committable, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, no coaching staff, no coaching member was like, boom, there it is. And, you know, those guys stay glued to Twitter when they want to announce a commitment. And it, with, like you said, you know, with the departures, the 2016 class is probably going to be around 2021. At linebacker, you've already got 4-star Daniel Betuli going off of Rivals ratings. Mm-hmm. You've got 3-star Tim Hart. I don't see why Tennessee would take 3 linebackers in this class.
No, it's odd. It's very odd.
I thought after Betuli committed, they had 2 linebackers, and him and Hart, and in my head I said, okay, they're done at linebacker for 2016.
Yeah. I could understand if they were going for a more prototypical middle linebacker, which there's not a lot of those on the team. You've got to, you know, redshirt freshman and Bryant, and you've got to the true freshman that's coming up. But, I mean, he's a little injured. He's still dinged up. They say Kirkland Jr. is going to be ready for fall camp, but he's still dinged up, and he's also a true freshman, though. Outside of those two guys, you don't really have any prototypical middle linebackers on this squad. So it's just odd that they would be stacking up on outside linebackers like this. But, you know, I guess they know what they're doing. That's what they do.
Yeah, and I mean, it just seems odd because everybody can break down how, you know, what the needs are of a class. For the 2016 class, I think O-line is still a position they need to grab another body or two. I still think there's going to be huge changes with the 2016 class. I think Dorian Banks, his offer is going to be gone. I still maintain Devontae Brooks, unless the coaching staff really trusts how his injury is, he'll be able to rehab from a second ACL tear. Devontae Brooks at tight end, that's still a question mark to me. I know he's very highly ranked, number 14 tight end in the country, but at some point, you know, he might get lost in the shuffle. Where you took Austin Pope locally here in Knoxville. Where do you fit all these kids in? And this 2016 class, looking at the 2016 class right now, the only guys I think that are locked in, they're definitely going to remain, are Betuli, Phil Dame, the new running back, Jeff George, Garantano, Tim Hart, Brian Johnson, the offensive lineman, and Marquell Osborne and Austin Pope. A kid that's been worrying me a little bit is Chidi Okonye, at the end from Georgia, because he went down to Dog Night or Dog Day or whatever at Georgia, mm-hmm. and apparently had a great time down there. Dude was tweeting Georgia nonstop for a week.
Yeah. The battle with Georgia this year in recruiting is going to be epic. Like, you know, like we're talking about Jaquan Blakely right now. He's also a Georgia kid right now. Just the battle between Georgia and Tennessee for these recruits is going to be epic. But one of the things I was looking at is that, you know, this kid doesn't even have any in-state offers yet from Georgia Tech or Georgia. So you got to wonder why the home state schools haven't got in on him. So it's one of those things you just have to try and figure out how this is going to play out on signing day.
Yeah, and we've got a new thing up on checkerboardradio.com that I posted last night and a lot this morning. It's a new poll. Well, it's actually multiple polls.
Hey, we got our guest on.
Yeah. Hey, Andre, this is Andrew and Lee Crow with Checkerboard Radio. How are you doing today?
Doing well, yourself?
Doing well, thank you. We appreciate you coming on the show today to talk some football with us. I'll let Lee start off with some great questions for you.
Okay, so
Andre, how you doing, man? How you doing, Andre?
Good. How are you? I'm doing good.
I'm doing good, man. I wanted to we'd like to just check up with some former Vols, and you play for my favorite pro team as well, the Steelers. So I wanted to get into some things with you, man. I wanted to ask you, what was your toughest loss as a Volunteer? I know which one it was for me, which you were a part of, that 2001 Georgia game. That 2001 Georgia game still hurts me to this day. But what was your toughest loss as a Vol?
Honestly, LSU and the SEC championship.
That same year, huh?
Yeah, same year. They could have took us and that was a championship, man.
I still don't understand how that happened with Georgia, though. I really don't, man. You guys beat them up and down the field the whole game. Almost 500 total yards on them. I mean, running on them, throwing on them. Travis Stevens is probably still running on Georgia right now. I'll never understand how we lost that game.
Yeah, you're right. It was a tough one.
Andre, we've talked with Joey Kent previously a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about at practice some of the DBs he would go up against. You know, and the DBs at Tennessee were better than the guys he faced during the game. And so I want to ask you, you know, some of the receivers you practice against, did that make you better as a defensive back at Tennessee when you got into a game and say, hey, you know, I'm going against this guy at practice. This scrub's nothing to me from South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you're going against, you know, Cedric Wilson, Peerless Price, Dante Stallworth, David Martin, you know, it was definitely a challenging day, you know, every day, actually. And it made it, you know, a lot easier once we got to the game situations. And we always pushed each other very hard, and we made each other better. That's one thing we made an emphasis on. Coach Fulmer did competition and everything. So it really made everybody better.
Man, back to that 2001 team, man. You guys, it might be arguably one of the best teams ever for the Vols. And I hate the way it ended for us that year, but it, you know, it is like it is sometimes. But you had John Henderson, Dante Stallworth, yourself, Albert Haynesworth, Travis Stevens. It's just a who's who, man. You had a bunch of guys enter the draft that year, and is that the best team you've ever been on, or do you think one of the other teams you played on was better than that?
You know, with my collegiate years, yes, it's probably one of the best. But I would say overall, the best team I've ever been on was the San Diego Chargers 2006, the year we lost to New England in the AFC Championship. We went 15-1, I believe. You know, Ladainian Thomas, all those guys, man. It was great. Marty Schottenheimer was a great coach. But, yeah, collegiate 2001, absolutely.
Andre, when you were at Tennessee, you played against Steve Spurrier, but then he was your coach in the pros at Washington. What was that little transition like, going from playing a guy at your rival to him being your boss?
Well, it was weird. You know, I was very uncomfortable. You know, he brought his son, who was the wide receiver coach, and they signed a lot of Florida receivers. So every day, it would be Florida versus Tennessee, you know, while I'm in Washington, you know. So it was uncomfortable. You know, things got a little heated sometimes, but, you know, it's just the way it was. Coach Spurrier was a good coach, but it was just weird. You know, you're trying to keep the collegiate thing still going that, you know, it wasn't, you know, the right thing to do.
We talk a lot about recruiting on this show, and you came out of Memphis Melrose, which is actually – a difficult area for us to recruit in historically. So what were some of the things that made you want to take that drive across state and play for Coach Fulmer?
Well, you know, it was just, you know, Coach Fulmer was a very personable guy. He made it feel like home. I felt comfortable. My mom felt comfortable. And that was really what it was all about. You know, even though we're still in the same state of Tennessee, it's still a long drive. And, you know, my mom, she made that drive anyway, and that was really the biggest thing for me. And that was easy. It was an easy decision for me to make that.
Andre, coming from Memphis, and like we said, Tennessee does get some high-profile players from Memphis, and sometimes they don't always pan out. Memphis sometimes get an unfair rep from when they players come to Tennessee, just that they might be overhyped coming out of that area?
Well, yeah, I think so. You know, since I coaching down in this area now and I'm able to see some athletes, I kind of get that feeling that a lot of people or a lot of players get that feeling that they're overrated, or a lot of people are saying that. But I think when people start to come around now, they're starting to see some real athletes, which is a good thing. We're trying to push for that. So trying to put Memphis back on the map, you know, so we'll see how that goes.
Andre, the new coaching staff has put a lot of emphasis on trying to get some of the VFL, some of the older guys back to campus as much mm-hmm. as possible to speak with the younger guys. Have you had many chances to get over underneath the Butch Jones regime over there?
But I haven't had a chance to meet Coach Jones because they was doing something big and I didn't want to bother him. But, you know, from the guys I've talked to, from what I've heard, he is an awesome guy. He is really putting 100%, you know, into the program, which is what we need. He's doing an awesome job. We ranked, you know, in the top 25 since 2008, I believe, which is a big step. You know, everybody's happy, man. He's doing a great job. You know, when you have a coach who would, you know, you would fight for, you would do anything for, you know, it's always a good thing. It's just saying we fought for Coach Fulman. We'd do anything for Coach Fulman. You know, Coach Jones has the program heading in the right direction.
Andre, we'll let you get out of here in just a moment, but, you know, my last question for you is, you know, we've seen – I always like asking this to former players, especially now that mm-hmm. it's official with the Nike switch. What do you think of the new uniforms, the new font, the gray, the new helmets? As an older guy, you know, what are your thoughts on these new uniforms?
Man, you know what? I'm jealous. I'm just going to be real. My freshman year was the first year they switched to Adidas. So, you know, it was the first couple of years it was Adidas, man. It was bad. And, you know, to see them switch to the Nike stuff, man, the smoky gray uniforms. You know, I'm jealous, man. It looks so good, man. I would love to play in some Nike stuff. You know, when I was in the league, I was endorsed by Nike. So, you know, I made that switch very quick. And just to see them in Nike, man. I've already made my orders for some Nike stuff for this year, man. So it's good, man. It's good for the program. It's good for recruiting. It's a big step, man. It's, you know, it's good for the program.
Andre, man, I want to ask you one more question. It's a little off the wall. I put people on the spot sometimes with this one. We do talk a lot about recruiting. We talk a lot of recruiting. So when you were being recruited by UT and you came up for your official visit, who hosted you on your official visit and what did y'all get into?
Who hosted me? Torrey Noel, who was he went to Merrill's High School as well. He was hosting me and Cedric at the same time. And, you know, went to a few parties, man. You know, hung out with a few people. Had a good time. Danced a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Andre, you know, we appreciate you coming on with us today. Like you said, you're out coaching in the Memphis area right now. Is there anything else you're up to right now before we let you go?
I'm actually, I work as the Dean of Students at St. George's Independent School. I work, I'm over disciplined in the middle school, and I also teach 12th grade class, African American Studies, which is very exciting. And that's it, man, education and football.
Well, Andre, we appreciate you coming on, man. We hope to see with you sometime soon, and, you know, hopefully we'll maybe catch you when they have they honor some former players at a UT game. You know, you did great things. And unfortunately, I will be mean as we let you go. I hope the Steelers lose to my New England Patriots, even without Tom Brady. I hope
yeah.
My backup can take care of your old squad.
Yeah, that probably won't happen, man. But yeah, I got you.
Andre, man, thank you again, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend, my friend.
Absolutely, man. Stay in touch.
All right, thank you. That was VFL Andre Lye, played defensive back at Tennessee came in in 97 as a partial qualifier, but played from 98 through 2001. Jim Thorpe Award semifinalist his 2000 season.
Yeah.
So, great guy. Played for the Redskins, Chargers, and Steelers, unfortunately, and another team. it slipped in my mind. No, I said Steelers. I'm not dogging you, but no, he played for a fourth team. Oh, the Bears. He played Bears, for Swain's Bears. But
you guys can follow Andre on Twitter. He doesn't tweet a whole lot, but he's a good dude. But you can follow him on Twitter, A-Lot 30, one word. Good guy, great follow, just down-to-earth guy, man. And he played on some of the best teams in Tennessee history. He got a championship ring. That 2001 team might have been the best team ever. On the team with T. Martin in 99, that kind of underachieved, but was also probably one of the better teams in the history of UT football. Just surrounded by pros. I mean, he went up against your boy Kelly Washington. I know you're a big Kelly Washington guy. I know he didn't even mention him, though, so I need to get back into it with him with that and see why he didn't mention Kelly Washington with all those great receivers he mentioned.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I just got infuriated by some of our football program just tweeted out. But Andre Locke, great player. And it was really cool. I remembered that he, played against Spurrier, and then that's the guy that is his head coach when he's a rookie in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's got to be a script going. You don't like, the rivals you play against, you probably don't like their coach. I mean, you never talk to him or anything, but that's got to be weird when you show up for camp and boom, there's the guy that coached your rival while you were in school. But as I was just saying, Tennessee just tweeted out something horribly stupid, and it's a quote tweet because Adam Schefter just tweeted out, the Seahawks released starting defensive tackle Tony McDaniel today, said it was for salary cap reasons after extending Wilson and Bobby Wagner. Tennessee Football quote tweeted that and said, best wishes to our VFL and Super Bowl champ to hook on with another team. The dude knocked a dude's face in.
Yeah, but he had one practice, so he's a VFL. He's got a ring, I think. He's got an AFC championship ring. He's VFL,
he's got
man.
Super Bowl ring.
VFL, man.
No.
One practice.
No.
He's the one, he qualifies, he's a full qualifier under the big league VFL rules. So
Tony McDaniel has been, he's in a unique category of VFL status. He's the, you got arrested for caving a dude's face in, but one Super Bowl, your VFL, Tennessee did not give squat about Tony McDaniel when he was with the Jaguars for 3 years, with the Dolphins for 3 years. But he wins a Super Bowl with the Seahawks, dude's VFL again. No, I'm not doing it. Obviously, I'm not agreeing with your one practice rule. I'm not agreeing with your one game rule. No.
I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
So when Justin Hunter gets cut by the Titans after this preseason camp, and let's say he signs with Green Bay or the Seahawks or the Patriots or the Colts and win the Super Bowl. Justin, I like to stab people at Oyster Bars. Hunter, he gets VFL status?
We never really talked about the stabbing thing. That is just odd. We never even really talked about that on the show. How odd is that? Whatever happened about that?
Dude, he hasn't been suspended.
Yeah, I know he did practice. The Titans practice yesterday. I saw him signing autographs.
Well, apparently, the stabbing, I don't know how it came. The charges were stabbing, but then the incident came out based on security footage, and Justin Hunter just started punching this dude. He must have ate the last, fried popcorn shrimp just because Hunter is soft, and I don't know what else would make him that mad.
I don't either.
But
somebody probably insulted Drake or something, and he had to slap some people.
But so he's. Well, and that's the thing that kills me, and this might be just me still mad at the NFL right now for the Brady thing. Dude got arrested for assault and hasn't been suspended yet. The NFL is reviewing it. But Brady suspended 4 games for destroying a phone.
Speaking of legal troubles, we'll tie this into this because it is officially, it's a milestone day today. You know what today is, Andrew?
Does it feel like 98 or is it 100?
No. This is day 100 that LaVon Pearson has been named as a suspect but not charged in a rape investigation. So, and all things that that you hear are very positive, and Monday might be a good day for him, but I've been hearing that for a long time, and I will believe it when I see it. So it's a very good possibility that he can never play another snap for UT. There's also a very good possibility that he could be out there running routes versus air on Tuesday. So it's going to be an interesting 2 or 3 days.
With conversations the past week and a half, all I can say right now is Von Pearson should be back on this team right now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The people I've talked to have
A 100 days is more than enough time.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I agree with that. 100 days is more than enough. But the people I've talked to in the past week and a half, and they've asked me not to disclose too much of it, but the people I've talked to have said Von Pearson should be back on this football team, and the only thing I will hint at is the University of Tennessee and the federal investigation regarding sexual assault on campus. And once he is denied or reinstated, I've got it saved. I called you last week when I had these conversations. I have it saved as a note on my iPhone because I know sometimes people don't want to believe the things I report, but I will release what I've been told, and it's got a timestamp on it from when I was told this, once something official is announced on Von Pearson.
Yeah.
It'll
be an interesting few days.
He should be on the team. He should be on the team right now.
I look for tomorrow something maybe to happen, and I think we'll know something by Tuesday morning. That's just my feeling on it. So.
Well, the district attorney is on vacation this weekend. I don't think that matters. I think it's out of the legal standpoint. I think this is now more on the University of Tennessee. I think there is a reason he's not enrolled for summer school. And it's connected to that federal investigation.
You can look at he's also been tweeting a whole lot the past day, so that's a little bit different. I mean, every once in a while, there was a sporadic tweet pop in there, but he's been tweeting pretty freely the past couple of days. That leads me to believe that he thinks that he's about to put on some Nike practice gear on Tuesday. So we'll see what happens. Tomorrow should be exciting anyway, because I'm sure that final roster update for the fall camp practices will start. I mean, I guess we need to check in on Quay Piquet too. I mean, fall session doesn't start till the 18th, I think, or maybe the 17th. I can't remember. Whatever that Monday is, 2 weeks from tomorrow, that's when his classes actually start. So if Quay Piquet in here in two Mondays, I guess he's not coming. I'm going to need to check up on that after the show, actually. I forgot all about him and all the other stuff going on.
Well, Lee, you mentioned that Vaughn has been tweeting, semi-frequently,
mm-hmm.
which leads me to, this is going to be kind of a fun question, because we've seen Charles Mosley be himself on Twitter, outspoken and all that. But he hasn't tweeted since the night he was arrested. Have you looked to see what he was tweeting about the night he got arrested?
No, I haven't. I have not. What was he tweeting about? I can only imagine.
early that evening, he tweeted out around 6:45 that night, "Who wants to go get tatted?" As in a tattoo. Cortez McDowell said, "When?" Mosley responded, "Now." Cortez McDowell responded, "Broke, LOL. Charles Mosley responded, LOL, me too, but I'm still going. And then some girl said, where are you going? He said, want to go. And she said, if I go with, I'll leave with another tattoo that I can't afford. So the million-dollar question is, did Charles Mosley get a tattoo the night he got arrested?
There's no telling. These kids are broke, but they have money for weed and tattoos. It's just hilarious to me. But anyway, too funny.
But, yeah, that's Mosley. Just, he just got to, you know.
Just,
gotta go.
Just look at the flowers.
He just got to
look
at the flowers,
Charles. Look at the flowers. No.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I know you're a huge Walking Dead fan, and I, as am I, and, you know, the character that that scene involves is named Lizzie, and to me it sounded enough like Mosley, but that is our new, it's not, I think we might have to retire the cutting wood, unless it's just an extreme case, but any recruit that gets told to look elsewhere, anybody that gets dismissed, I think they're, I think from now on Checkerboard Radio, they will be looking at the flowers.
Look at the flowers. Yeah, look at the flowers. Dorian Banks, look at the flowers. Yeah. Let's talk about your polls you put up. You put up 1,000 polls. I was going through them like early this morning. I was like, you put up 1,000,000 polls on the site today or yesterday.
Yeah, man. You can check them out on checkerboardradio.com. It's the, you know, the new thing I've been having fun with. Because, like I said last week, each month I learned something new that I can make our website better and give more people to interact. Last week we did, you know, the top quarterbacks in your lifetime. This week we're doing the multiple polls. It's the first of 2015. And each one is basically, you know, the first situation where something can happen. A lot of people have been voting. I tweeted it out multiple times this morning and last night. First one, and Lee, I don't know how you and I haven't discussed these at all yet, so I don't know how you voted.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one was, how will the Vols score their first point in 2015? Leading right now with 68% of the votes is a rushing touchdown. Lee,
yeah,
what way
that's where
did
I was.
You went rushing touchdown?
Yeah, that's where I was because, you know, they're playing Bowling Green State University, and we had a beat right around from there a few weeks ago. I need to get him on in a couple of weeks, see if we can get it back on, but John Wagner. But, yeah, I mean, their defense is porous. They can't stop the run. They're pretty bad against the pass, too, but I just think that first touchdown might be like a 20- or 30-yard scamper by a Camara or something. That's just what I'm seeing in my head. Which answers your next question, too. So.
Oh, well, I went with passing touchdown, honestly. Which is tied with a field goal and a kickoff or in kickoff returns and is in third. But I went with passing touchdown just because there's been off-season chatter on message boards and Twitter, and we've asked Quincy Avery about it, you know, our quarterback guru, about Dobbs throwing the deep ball. And the coaching staff's mad about it, and they're like, oh, he's fine. He can throw it deep. I think to start off, let's say Tennessee wins opening kick. I think they run it a couple times, show off Kamara and Hurd, and then there's a play-action bomb to either Marquez North or Josh Malone to convince people that Josh Malone's good. So I think that's the first touchdown. The next one is who scores the first touchdown, and the results on this one are kind of interesting. The majority winner right now is Jalen Hurd, tied are Dobbs and Kamara. A couple votes for Pig Howard, Josh Malone, Ethan Wolf. But beating them with 7% of the vote is other.
Yeah.
Marquez North doesn't have a vote.
Well, I'm thinking like a Josh Smith type. Maybe you probably should include him in there because he's got just as much chance to score as a Wolf or a Malone to me. I don't think, like I said in another, well, I said actually on that little prediction sheet that I look for, you know, the other tight end, former walk-on Ellis, to have a better year in the red zone than Wolf because Dobbs just doesn't look for Wolf in the red zone. He didn't last year much. So I don't think Wolf should even be on there. I think maybe Smith should be on there. I think he's going to have a pretty decent year, barring injury. So he may be the most technically sound receiver on the squad, really, I mean, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and then we've got the next one is who scores the first rushing touchdown. Jalen Hurts winning that in a landslide. Kamara and Dobbs are tied. I threw Pick Howard on there because, you know, Tennessee loves the pig sweep. We'll see if the board carries that over from Bajakian maintaining it. This one is kind of spread out a little bit. Who scores the first or who catches the first Tennessee touchdown pass? Pick Howard leading it, followed by Marquez North, then Ethan Wolf, followed, and then a three-way tie between Kamara, Malone, and other. No votes for Jalen Hurd, no votes for Jason Kroon. I'm kind of surprised Hurd doesn't have a couple votes because, you know, we joked about it last season, and I just mentioned it, the pig sweep, and there was also the Hurd swing last year. They love the Jalen Hurd swing pass.
Not a huge fan of that.
And then next one, who gets the first pick of 2015? Did you vote Cam Sutton on this one, Lee?
No, I went with Martin on that one. What's the breakdown?
Cam Sutton's got 44%. Martin and Brian Randolph are both tied at 18.5. Rashawn Golden with 11%. Ladarrell McNeil with 3.7, and other with 3.7. I went Justin Martin on this one. I think Cam is the option, but I think teams are going to, and you saw this a little bit last year, I think teams are going to avoid Cam Sutton, unlike teams avoid Richard Sherman. And I'm not comparing them and saying they're equal talent or anything like that, but when you know a team has a good corner, you kind of throw away from them. So I think that's kind of why Justin Martin might, until he starts popping up on people's radar, he might get the first pick. This next one is the one that actually I'm very surprised by the results with kind of the hype around the players. It's who gets the first sack of 2015.
Yeah.
Obviously, Derek Barnett leading it, followed by Kurt Majette, Jalen Reeves-Maven, and then other. Not receiving any votes, Khalil McKenzie and Shy Tuttle.
Yeah, I mean, that gives me hope for our fan base, really. I mean, these guys are both very, very physically talented guys, but at the end of the day, they're still freshmen, and this is still, you know, big boy football. So I'm actually proud of our fan base for one time in my life, or 1 minute in my life on that response.
We got 2 minutes to go, but three polls to quickly discuss. Next one, who is the first person to have 100 yards rushing in a game? Jalen Hurd leading that, followed by Kamara and Dobbs. No votes for other. We also have first to have 100 receiving yards, Pick Howard, followed by Marquez North. Josh Malone and Josh Smith tied for third with 8% of the vote. That one's going to be fun to watch. And this one, Lee, we'll discuss as we wrap up the show. What will be the first game the Vols wear the gray uniforms? Georgia is leading with 51%, tied for second at 15 is Oklahoma and Arkansas, followed by South Carolina. Where did you vote on that one, Lee?
I went with a Georgia game. It would be a great one if they actually could pull that out at home wearing the grays against Georgia, and maybe even Checker Neal in that game. We could talk about that for a split second before we get off too, because there's a little controversy on that going on.
Yeah, we will wrap that. We will end the show with that. Lee, you may have had a private conversation with him. I know I have. I don't want to say too much about it. There's been a lot of tweets about Checker Neilan and people wanting it for Oklahoma. There are three people in charge of Checker Neilan. Their names are Spencer Barnett, also known as Tweed Ballander, and the two gentlemen that set up the CheckerNeilan.com. Those guys with the university get full decision on what game it is.
That's right. There's like a little uprising of folks wanting it to be forced to be Oklahoma, but you got to include the people that created the whole phenomenon last year. They're like leaving these folks out of the process, and they've already got the website for it. It tells you what to wear and what seat. I mean, it's just stupidity, but that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and I don't know how much Spencer wants me to say, but the guy does great work. The guy makes edits for anybody that asks him to. He's made great stuff for Checkerboard Radio. He's made great stuff for me personally, and great stuff for when I was at Tennessee Sports Radio. Don't steal this from Spencer. It's his child. Don't steal it from him. So that's going to be it for us today. You've been listening to Checkerboard Radio here on Ball Sports Radio. It's the B-Sporto channel. This is the place all Vol fans want to run to for Lee Crow. Make sure you follow him at Lee Crow with an E, and follow me on Twitter at AWDarago, D-A-R-A-G-O. We may be back next Sunday. I've got another wedding to go to, but we may bring you a midweek show to make up for it if I can't go next Sunday. But we may do both. That's how we roll sometimes. But thanks for tuning in, and we'll speak to you guys soon.
3, 2, 1.
CheckerboardRadio.com. You're listening to Checkerboard Radio, a B-Sporto channel.
Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.